Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Benjamin M. Friedman, a Harvard economist, examines economic growth as a social and political force rather than merely an increase in output or consumption. Published in 2005, The Moral Consequences of Economic Growth is a work of political economy and historical analysis focused chiefly on the large Western democracies, with particular attention to the United States after the Civil War. Its central claim is that broadly experienced improvements in living standards tend to encourage a tolerance, opportunity, fairness, social mobility, and commitment to democratic institutions. By contrast, prolonged stagnation can make societies more defensive, distrustful, and receptive to exclusionary politics, even when they remain affluent by historical standards. Friedman, therefore, distinguishes a high level of wealth from a widely shared expectation of progress. Drawing on economic patterns alongside political and social history, he challenges accounts that treat growth as morally neutral or as valuable only for private consumption. The book also places growth at the center of debates over inequality, public policy, globalization, and development. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, progress, rather than wealth alone, shapes social confidence. The book makes a crucial distinction between possessing wealth and experiencing improvement. A country may be rich in absolute terms, yet still face social and political strain if most people believe their prospects have stopped advancing. Friedman argues that a sense of getting ahead changes how citizens view both one another and public institutions. When living standards rise for a broad share of society, conflicts over distribution and status need not disappear, but they become less likely to dominate political life. People can more readily accept change, extend opportunity, and support policies that benefit groups beyond themselves because they do not see every gain for others as a personal loss. This mechanism makes the argument more demanding than a simple defense of gross domestic product. Growth matters morally only when it is sufficiently broad and visible to affect ordinary expectations. Conversely, slow or narrowly distributed gains can intensify relative deprivation. Citizens may compare their stalled position with that of more successful groups and interpret institutions as unfair or unresponsive. The resulting anxiety can weaken generosity and social trust. Friedman thus treats progress as a practical condition for sustaining an open society, not as a guarantee that prosperity automatically produces virtue. Secondly, economic expansion supports tolerance and democratic liberalization. Friedman links sustained income growth to a cluster of liberal social outcomes: greater tolerance of difference, willingness to broaden political inclusion, concern for fairness, and confidence in democratic procedures. The claim is not that economic conditions mechanically determine beliefs. Rather, material progress can create a setting in which citizens and governments have more room to accommodate social change without treating it as an immediate threat. Expanding opportunity makes upward mobility more plausible, while fiscal capacity can support public investments and social protections that reduce the harshest consequences of economic disruption. These conditions can reinforce commitments to equal citizenship and democratic participation. The historical scope of the book is important here. Friedman looks beyond short business cycles to longer political and social developments in Western democracies, especially American experience since the Civil War. His purpose is to show that liberalization has often coincided with periods in which large parts of the population enjoyed rising living standards. The book does not reduce moral progress to income alone. Political leadership, institutions, and cultural conflict still matter. Its contribution is to insist that economic momentum is one enabling condition that political analysis neglects at its peril. A democratic culture is easier to maintain when people believe the future can offer wider possibilities rather than fixed scarcity. Thirdly, stagnation can turn distributional anxiety into political rigidity. The negative half of Friedman's thesis is as important as the positive one. He argues that stagnation threatens democratic values not only through unemployment or hardship, but through its effect on expectations and social comparison. When people do not see their own circumstances improving, gains made by others may feel like evidence of displacement rather than shared advancement. Political debates then become more vulnerable to zero-sum thinking assistance, for one group is perceived as a burden on another, and cultural or demographic change can be framed as a loss of status. In this environment, resentment, intolerance, and hostility to compromise can become more politically attractive. The warning applies even to wealthy societies. Affluence accumulated in the past does not indefinitely protect institutions if current generations lose confidence that effort will bring progress. This point distinguishes the book from analyses that use national income levels as a sufficient measure of social health. Friedman places special emphasis on broadly based growth because a rise concentrated among a minority may leave the wider public with the same sense of insecurity as stagnation. The argument also implies that policy failures carry moral consequences beyond budgets and markets. Weak growth can erode the social foundations that make democratic disagreement manageable. Economic policy therefore influences the climate in which civic norms either endure or deteriorate. Fourthly, inclusive growth connects macroeconomic policy to fairness. Although the book makes a case for growth, it does not treat any increase in aggregate output as adequate. Friedman repeatedly centers the experience of the clear majority of citizens. That emphasis connects macroeconomic performance to distribution, since growth that is highly concentrated may not generate the shared confidence on which his argument depends. A society in which productivity or national income rises while typical households see little improvement can retain the numerical appearance of success, while losing the social benefits Friedman associates with progress. This focus gives the book a distinctive position in policy debates. It rejects the view that distributional concerns are separate from growth, but it also resists the claim that distribution can be ignored once growth is achieved. Broad participation in economic gains helps citizens regard markets and government as part of a workable common order, rather than as systems serving only entrenched winners. It may also make support for education, infrastructure, social insurance, and other collective measures more politically sustainable. Friedman does not offer a single formula that resolves trade-offs among efficiency, redistribution, and liberty. Instead, he supplies a standard for evaluating policy, whether it fosters durable, widely felt improvement in living standards. The moral case for growth is therefore conditional on inclusion. Growth has its strongest civic effects when it expands realistic opportunity, rather than merely enlarging wealth at the top. Lastly, development and globalization have consequences beyond income. Friedman extends his argument beyond affluent democracies to questions of development and globalization. If the experience of advancing living standards can help support openness and political liberalization, then economic expansion in poorer countries has implications that reach beyond consumption or national prestige. Development policy, trade, and international economic arrangements should be assessed partly by whether they create durable prospects for broad segments of a population. The relevant issue is not simply whether an economy becomes richer on paper, but whether citizens can plausibly expect expanding opportunity and greater security. This perspective complicates both celebratory and skeptical accounts of globalization. Friedman does not present global integration as automatically benign, because disruptive changes and unequal gains can undermine the very confidence that growth is meant to foster. Yet he also rejects indifference to growth in developing economies, since persistent stagnation may constrain social and political progress. The policy implication is not that outside actors can export democracy through economic policy alone. Political institutions, local history, and distributional outcomes remain decisive. Instead, the book argues that economic advancement is a meaningful part of the environment in which more tolerant and democratic politics can take hold. By framing development this way, Friedman restores a moral dimension to growth policy while avoiding the narrow idea that material output is its only end. In conclusion, the moral consequences of economic growth will interest readers of political economy who want to understand why growth rates and living standards affect more than purchasing power. Economists, policymakers, historians, political scientists, and informed general readers will find it especially useful because Friedman connects macroeconomic conditions with questions usually treated separately: social tolerance, mobility, fairness, public confidence, and democratic resilience. Its practical value lies in the evaluative lens it offers. Rather than asking only whether an economy is expanding, readers are encouraged to ask who experiences that expansion, whether citizens perceive genuine progress, and what social risks arise when advancement stalls. The book is also valuable as a corrective to arguments that portray growth as either a purely technical objective or an inherently corrupting pursuit. Friedman makes a historically grounded case that growth can have civic benefits, while making broad participation essential to those benefits. Compared with many books on economic growth, which concentrate on productivity, markets, or development strategies, this one stands out for treating moral and political outcomes as central evidence rather than side effects. Compared with broad defenses of prosperity, it is more precise about the danger posed by stagnation and unequal progress. Readers need not accept every causal inference to benefit from its core challenge: economic performance helps shape the terms on which a pluralistic democracy can sustain. Solidarity, openness, and confidence in the future. If you would like to support Benjamin M. Friedman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.